Welcome to the Hereditary Angioedema edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the HAE community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor and your host. Our guest today is Catherine Miller, Global Medical Affairs Lead for Hereditary Angioedema, also known as HAE, at Intellia Therapeutics, and she's speaking to us from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Catherine, thanks so much for being on our program.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
So let's start by talking about you. Where do you come from? Where is your expertise in this particular disease? And would you tell us something about your company?
Sure. So I am from the United States. I was originally born in the Midwest from Ohio and have lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts since 2010. And I am a PharmD or a pharmacist by training, and I've been working in the medical affairs field now for over 15 years, supporting patients within hematology, oncology, neurology, psychiatry, and rare diseases throughout my career. And I'm very excited to be a member of Intellia Therapeutics. It's a very exciting company based in Cambridge that's really looking to revolutionize gene therapy and gene editing for patients across the world.
Wonderful. We've done a number of stories about HAE, and including some dealing with specific new gene therapies. I'd like to start by asking you about this disease. Of course, it's very rare. It could be potentially fatal if not treated in time. Give us some information about it, if you would. How many people in the U.S. are affected by HAE, and what is the landscape currently for therapies out there?
Sure. So hereditary angioedema, it is a rare disease. It affects about 1 in 50,000 globally. When we think about the United States, the prevalence estimates are somewhere between 7,000 and 11,000 patients that are affected living here. And the disease itself, it is a genetic disease. And because of that, about 75% of patients actually have inherited from a previous family member. And about 25% of patients are newly diagnosed or the first person in their family to have the disease. So you can imagine that can make diagnosis somewhat complicated if you are somebody who it's the first time that you've had the disease in your family. But fortunately for these patients, there have been quite a lot of advancements over the past probably 20 years or so in terms of just diagnosis as well as treatment options that are available today. And patients today, they have the option to be treated either with an on-demand therapy, which means they take a treatment when their attacks occur. And this is most patients, all patients really should have access to on-demand therapy. And it's recommended by the guidelines, both in the United States as well as internationally, that all patients should consider if they would also like a prophylaxis treatment, which they can take chronically. They can take it to prevent attacks from occurring.
We had a story recently about the prevalence of HAE in certain pockets, for example, North Central Alabama and in Puerto Rico, because apparently there is some connection to a founder effect.
Yeah, you know, I think that it is interesting that they see this. And I think with the once patients have become diagnosed as well, and when family members start to become tested, you start to see these pockets emerging. I think, though, in general, that HAE is not really specifically affecting certain regions or certain populations of patients. Maybe women, I think, maybe have a little bit higher of a diagnosis rate than men. But in general, I think HAE, unfortunately, affects, you know, people regardless of their race, their ethnicity, or their geographical location.
So let's talk about the symptoms of HAE. It causes painful swelling, we know that, but it could also affect breathing, and so potentially life-threatening.
Yeah, hereditary angioedema can be a very scary disease because it's very unpredictable and it causes these swelling attacks. And they're different from other types of swelling in the sense that the swelling happens over a period of time. So the swelling comes on over hours and can last 2 to 3 days. And it can cause this very painful and uncomfortable feeling in the body. And the swellings can happen in the GI, so in the stomach. They can happen in the periphery, so if you think of the arms, the legs, the hands, but they can also happen in the throat or in the neck or the face, which could impair breathing and cause patients to, you know, unfortunately die if they're unable to treat that attack. Right. and get the swelling down.
The therapies that are out there, I'm not familiar with one that actually leaves patients attack-free after a single dose, which is what your therapy purports to do. What's out there now? Are there any that do that or that promise to do that?
So the therapies that are available today, when we think about the prophylaxis therapies, these therapies are all very effective in terms of reducing attack rate. And in general, these therapies are able to make proportion of patients become completely attack free. And this is very important. This is something that we know patients want to be. They want to be attack free. But all of the therapies today are administered chronically, which means that you need to continue to take the therapy to see the effect. I think as treatments evolve and technologies evolve, the goal is that hopefully patients could be treated with something like a one-time therapy that potentially could stop or reduce their attack.
Okay, so let's get into the particulars, if you don't mind. Explain to us about this in vivo gene editing process. This, as you mentioned in a press release, at least, or that I've seen about, that it would revolutionize the treatment of the disease by actually editing the gene in vivo. Can you explain a little bit about how that works?
Absolutely. So this is really what Intellia Therapeutics is aiming to do. We are working with CRISPR technology, which has been around for a long time. Scientists have been working with it and trying to take this technology to develop treatments for patients. And the therapies that are approved today that use CRISPR technology are administered in an ex vivo manner, which means that you have to take the cells out of the body and use CRISPR to create the edit and put the cells back into the body. And what Intellia is trying to do is we are trying to develop therapies that can be delivered in vivo, which means CRISPR can be put directly into the body. CRISPR will be the treatment. And this would help patients to hopefully be able to be treated, you know, over the course of one day. And that's how our therapy is being investigated today.
So how does this work? A patient goes for an infusion, or is it considered a surgery? How does this actually work in the operating room?
So the way that Intellia is investigating CRISPR therapies in our clinical studies, patients will come in, they will receive an infusion over the course of a few hours. There'll be a small monitoring period, and then they will go home on the same day. And the idea is that the CRISPR is going directly into the body, and it's been designed to be very precise, and it's been designed to go directly to the liver so that it can make the edit that is required to potentially then change the gene and potentially impact the disease.
And how long does the procedure take from start to finish?
So in general, the way that we are studying this in our clinical trials is that patients will come into the office. They will take a oral steroid medication and antihistamine to help prevent infusion reactions. And the infusion is being administered over 2 to 4 hours. And then patients are being monitored afterwards for about 2 hours. So it takes just about one day, about 8 hours is how it's being studied in our clinical trials.
Gotcha. So at what stage are you with these trials? Where does it stand?
So we're very excited at Intellia. We are working on, you know, multiple applications of CRISPR, and our in vivo CRISPR therapies are currently being studied in 3 different therapeutic areas, and we are in phase 3 trials with these studies. So we've seen some promising data in phase 1 and phase 2, which is very encouraging to us, and we are anxiously awaiting from a phase 3 perspective to understand the efficacy and safety of these drugs.
Of course. So speaking about phase 3 trial, can you give us some idea how many patients are involved and where the sites are?
Sure. We have, you know, 3 different studies that are ongoing today. When we think about HAE specifically, we do have 1 phase 3 study, and we are targeting to enroll 60 patients. And this is a trial that's happening globally. So it's happening in the United States, as well as in countries across Europe, as well as in New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa. And we are currently enrolling for this clinical trial right now.
How many sites exactly?
The number of sites, it varies by the country, but the total target enrollment is 60 patients.
Okay. So United States, Europe, Australia, New Zealand.
And South Africa.
And South Africa. And so you said you're encouraged by phase one and two data. Can we summarize why you're encouraged by those data?
Sure. So our therapy is, of course, under investigation, but when it was evaluated in phase one and phase two, we did have the opportunity to, you know, look at the safety as well as the effectiveness in patients with HAE. And what we've seen in our clinical trials so far is that from a pharmacodynamic perspective, so when we look at the marker of the gene edit, that we see that there's a very rapid reduction and it's remaining very durable. So we have data now, patients followed up to 3 years. We've also been looking at safety, and what we've seen is that in general, the therapy appears to be well tolerated. Infusion-related reactions are the most common reported adverse events, but they tend to be transient and they resolve. And we, from an efficacy perspective, we've been encouraged as we've seen attack rate reduction, as well as a high proportion of patients able to become attack free with only that one time treatment. So this is all phase one, two data. And, you know, we are evaluating in the phase three study. But again, we're excited by what we've seen so far in the phase one, two.
Wonderful. Are there any serious potential adverse effects?
So this is something that we will monitor very carefully throughout the process. So far, what we've seen is that the drug is very, you know, generally well tolerated, that the most common adverse events tend to be these infusion-related reactions. We will really have a better understanding of the safety profile once we complete the phase three study. And there will also be a long-term follow-up study that we will follow these patients up to 15 years to understand the long-term safety.
Okay, so I see that you have plans to submit a biological license for lonvo-zine next year with potential for a 2027 launch. Is that still the case?
That is the case.
Okay. When do you think this will actually be on the market?
Well, if we are in fact able to submit our BLA next year, we are planning for commercialization in early 2027. So around that time frame, we are hoping, if all goes as planned and if the trial is successful, that would be the time that hopefully we would have it available to patients.
Great. In the 1 minute we have left, are you working on any other rare diseases that we should know about?
We are. So we also have a phase three study happening right now in amyloidosis, both in patients with peripheral neuropathy with polyneuropathy and cardiomyopathy. So very exciting as well. The phase three trials are ongoing in those populations. And Intellia is very committed to understanding how we can use CRISPR technology to address, you know, these needs in patients with very severe diseases.
Well, we'll have to talk to you again because we also cover amyloidosis.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yes. Wonderful. So any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I want to thank you for having us on the podcast, and I'm excited to be able to talk about, you know, the potential that for the future based on what Intellia Therapeutics is investigating today.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Catherine Miller, who is the Global Medical Affairs Lead for Hereditary Angioedema at Intellia Therapeutics in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you so much. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.